Let's go to Pyeongchang. Shai Davidi, Sportsnet's Olympics reporter, joins us. What time is it there?
It is 11:10.
Oh, okay.
At night. Not too bad.
No, not bad. Not bad. Give me your initial impressions of Pyeongchang and the mood around these Olympics.
Initial impression. I think it's a lot of people are struggling with the cold. I think that's been a very big talking point. I think the Russia issue has really hung over the games and has been a sore spot to the point that there may or may not have been some sort of confrontation between a Canadian and a Russian in a cafeteria, which the Canadian Olympic Committee apologized for if it did occur. So take that as it may. And then I think there's also this an air of anticipation. And I think the one thing that you get a sense of locally, but you know, we probably don't understand it as much on our side of the Pacific, is that there's a lot of meaning here to the fact that the Koreans marched into the opening ceremonies together under the United Peninsula on the flag. And, you know, I think the opening ceremonies really underline how much meaning that is here and how much hope there is for peace. And, you know, to say that the Olympics are going to contribute to that would be silly. But I think the fact that there is some sort of unification really speaks to how there's still a lot of hurt here over that war, and it lingers, and they found something positive in that unification of the teams.
I know that you worked in Japan for a while. I know you've traveled an awful lot extensively. Tell me about the Korean people, and I mean that respectfully, but tell me about the Korean people and how they, I mean, you talked about the unification, not the unification, but the whole notion of a united peninsula, but beyond that, how do they view these games? You know, what sports are they particularly interested in? You know, what's in it for them in terms of facilities and things of that nature?
Well, there's a few things. I think one, I mean, it's been very welcoming, and you know, the locals have been very excited and very kind, very eager to help.
That did not sound good. I told you, Travis. Mountains, cell phones, Korea. It could be the Russians. Bastards. It could be. The story Shai was referring to, by the way, of course, was the story about apparently a verbal altercation at one of the athletes' cafeterias. It may or may not have involved a Canadian athlete, but just to be careful, because we're Canadian, we apologized anyhow. It just kind of underscores, we're rejoined by Shai Davidi. Shai, as I said, Hills, Korea cell phone. What could go wrong? Anyhow, please continue your thoughts just about the Korean people.
Yeah, and they've certainly tried to put their best foot forward. In terms of what's long-term here, I think there's some confusion in the region as to what's going to happen to all the venues. You know, this isn't a very densely populated area. There are a few pockets around, but clearly they're hoping that the Olympics will help serve as a bit of a springboard economically to development of this region. And then again, I do think that the wider political implications are very significant here. And you know, there's a lot of tension leading up to the Olympics in terms of some of the saber rattling between the United States and the North Koreans, and things has calmed down. And maybe this is something, but I think this is, you really get a sense of how much the Korean War and the lingering split between the two countries just is such an ingrained part of life here.
Yeah, you know, we talked a little bit about the Canadian athlete that may or may not have been involved in that verbal altercation with the Russian athlete at the Olympic Village. It's pretty obvious, isn't it, that the Russians are, you know, they're essentially international pariahs right now in sports, and we saw that news conference with Sam Edney, you know, talking rather, I don't know, but emotionally, but essentially laying it all out there that, you know, that they he considers the sort of reversal of form on the part of the IOC, which is what it was. I mean, however they want to describe it, it was a reversal of form. You know, really, I think it really struck home with a lot of athletes, you know, and we noticed earlier this year as well, you know, the Brits, they also got their back up about this whole thing. It really does seem as if we've kind of crossed something where athletes now are, they're not afraid to be outspoken about what's going on. You know, in the past, you might hear something like when I covered the sliding sports, everybody thought the Germans were cheating. Everybody thought the Russians were doping. Nobody would say anything on the record. But now you are getting people, you're getting athletes from different countries saying stuff on the record.
Right. And I think part of that is that you may ultimately have to shame people into action. And I mean, just think about the process. You know, what the Russians did in Sochi had been well documented, and you know, there was more than sufficient evidence before the Rio Games. And you didn't get any sort of decision until this past December, before the Pyeongchang Games. I mean, That's a long time. And I understand to a degree when the IOC says, "Hey, look, you know, we wanted to make sure this was airtight." And look, they ended up in the court of arbitration for sport with several athletes, and you know, final adjudication on that only came down hours before the opening ceremony. So I mean, I do get that point, but ultimately, if the athletes have a sense about who's cheating and they just leave it to the authorities, you know, that's not going to work. You know, it's going to have to be a multi-pronged effort. You're going to have to shame people. You're going to have to get people acting and actively trying to investigate the people who are perpetrating it. And what the Russians did in Sochi was so brazen, was so hard to believe, difficult to fathom. I think that really struck a nerve and said, you know, enough is enough.
Dude, what was that noise in the background when you were talking to us? It either sounded like an animal being sacrificed or a police car. Did you hear it?
It was a police car that just zipped by our shuttle. So I'm going to assume that everything's okay.
All right. Well, that's good. I was a little concerned.
Fingers crossed.
Are you talking on a shuttle, by the way?
Yeah, I'm on a shuttle bus right now.
Who are you sitting next to? Anybody I know?
Christina Rutherford from SportsCenter is behind me.
Say hi to Christina.
I will. And a gentleman from another country is beside me having a conversation right now.
Ah, okay. All right. I got yelled at in London because my headphones were on too loud by some guy. He's a French guy, so I turned him up even louder. There's a whole thing, shuttle diplomacy, right? Sorry, I've been waiting to use that line. I apologize. Shai Davidi joining us from a bus in Pyeongchang. I know it's tacky and cheap of me, but I spent a night with Wilner at Pitch Talks.
Maybe you were the guy in the cafeteria.
yeah.
You were the Canadian in the cafeteria here.
I don't. I'm pretty certain. I've got my suspicion. I think it might have been one of the losers or bobsledders because they generally get worked up about stuff like that. So, You spent some time around the Canadian hockey team, which, you know, I think, and we're taking calls on this, I'm looking forward to the hockey competition. I'm going to watch more of this hockey competition than certainly the last two Olympics, just because I don't know what the hell's going to happen. And I kind of like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a ton of fun because, you know, the Russians are going to be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got Kovalchuk. They've largely made up from two Continental Hockey League teams, so they're going to have a bunch of guys who know how to play together. They're probably going to be pretty good. Everyone else is, who knows, right? If you come together right, you figure out how to play, all of a sudden you're good and get a bit of momentum. You don't have to sustain it for very long in a tournament like this. So I think the hockey's going to be fun because of that. I also think it's going to be fun because it's an Olympic medal. It's up for grabs for a lot of dudes in this tournament. This is going to be the pinnacle. So they're probably going to be getting after it pretty hard. And so the hockey's got a chance to be really entertaining.
You have to explain to me why, and I played the sport in high school, so I get it. But you have to explain to me why curling is so popular at these Olympics. I mean, in terms of attendance, you know, it gets good TV numbers out of the games. What is it about curling that seems to transcend national boundaries?
It's a great question. I just think it's an easy sport to watch. I think people love to think along with the skips in terms of the decision-making and the strategies. And it in some ways, it kind of almost feels like, I don't want to diminish the athletes who are here because they're obviously very elite. But it has an everyman's type of feel to it where, you know, you look at it and say, I could probably do that. Now, certainly you can at this level for everybody, but I think that's part of the attraction too.